Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Christos Anesti, El Mesih Qam, Christ is risen. Lech Christos Aftonf. Today is the first Sunday right after the Feast of the Resurrection, and we typically call these Sundays the Sundays of Pentecost, everything that is leading up to the Feast of Pentecost. Today I want to speak to you about one of the most important Christian principles, a Christian principle that oftentimes is misunderstood in the world. I want to speak to you about freedom. I want to speak to you about freedom because freedom seems to be the one thing that most of us agree on that everybody wants. But not all of us have the same definitions as to what it means to be truly free. You see, the freedom that Christianity preaches is a freedom that most people don't want. Because the word freedom, like many other words that have been spoken to us by our Lord, the word freedom has been taken hostage by the world. And the word freedom has been given a makeover. And in the process, the word freedom has become something that was never meant to be. For most people, freedom means to do what I want, when I want, with whoever I want, without having to take permission. Freedom to most people simply means that I want no one to govern over me. I don't want to have to care about others. I simply want to do what pleases me. And so freedom now, because of that false definition, is sometimes accepted by people to be the only reason why the human being should do whatever they do. Everyone should be free to think what they want to think, to believe what they want to believe. Everyone should be free to define their own truth in whichever way they want. Everyone wants to only think of themselves. And in the process, as long as people don't bother me, I don't care what you do. And this is what freedom has become. But this is not the freedom that God intended for us to have. You see, freedom is not simply to do what I want whenever I want. Freedom is to be able to fulfill my purpose in God without any hindrance. Freedom is to become truly human without being enslaved to anything that would slow me down in becoming human. Freedom is to fulfill my purpose and my intention which God designed for me without anything holding me back. But the problem is that when we take a look at what it means to be fully human according to Christ, many of us look at what it means to become human and we say there's too many rules. There's too many do not do this and do not do that. There's too many follow me here and follow me there. There's too many stay away from this and stay away from that. And when people hear of all of these rules and these commandments, they think, this is not freedom. This is slavery. Tell me, do you think that your children are slaves when you tell them to stay away from things that would hurt them? Is your intention to turn your children into little slaves in your own home when you tell them to stay away from those things that are capable of harming them? When you give them counsel and you share with them your wisdom, with the intention of them growing up to be everything that you want them to be. When you impart that wisdom to them and you give them those rules, is your intention to turn them into slaves? If it is, then you're not a good parent. On the contrary, the parents who give these kind of rules and share this kind of counsel, their intention is to do what? To make sure that nothing harms their children. When the government decides to put stop signs on the road and they tell you stop or else, when the government says if you do this you can face prison time, if you commit this crime you can be arrested, is this the government's way of turning us all into slaves? Or are rules there in order for us to be able to appreciate the freedom that we have? You see, the way that the Lord designed the human being was one where the rules that were given to us were meant to give us true freedom, not to enslave us. When He says, do not murder, do not lie, do not judge, do not hate, do not commit sin, why does He say that? Simply because He wants to test how obedient you are? Does He say these things because He wants to see whether or not you will listen? Does He simply give these rules haphazardly to see whether or not you are going to be a good boy or a good girl? You see, the Lord recognizes when you commit these sins, what happens? You are disconnected from Him. You are alienated from Him. There is separation between you and God because of sin. And when there is separation between you and God and you are alienated from Him, then you are separated from the source of life. And what happens to a person who is separated from the source of life? Do they not begin to die immediately? Does death not immediately take over when we are separated from the source of life? When you disconnect your cell phone from its power supply and the battery slowly starts to decrease, what do we say? The battery is dying. This is what was happening to the human being. The human being who was disconnected because of disobedience, who thought that there was real freedom to be had outside of God. But the human being was deceived. And the human being became a slave to his sin, a slave to anger, a slave to wrath, a slave to sin, to lust, to judgment, to greed. The human being became a slave to everything. And in the process, left God behind and left behind him the source of life. Why did Christ come and die? Why did He choose to die and then rise again from the dead? If His resurrection does not give you and me freedom, then nothing will. If His resurrection is not a testimony to the fact that He wants to make you free, then if I don't understand that, then there is no hope for me. The resurrection of Christ is one where I am supposed to come face to face with the fact that He died and conquered death and rose from the dead with the intention to give me true freedom, to tell me you no longer have to be a slave to death. You no longer have to be a slave to your passions. You no longer have to be a slave to sin. I have come to set you free from those things. You see, the human being before the resurrection of Christ, no matter how good they were, everyone went to Hades. The holy patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of them went to Hades. David the prophet, his son Solomon, all of the righteous judges, the holy men and women, all of them, they went to Hades. They were slaves to death. But He comes and He breaks the shackles of slavery. He sets the captives free. It is in His resurrection that we receive freedom. And it is because Christ is risen from the dead that you and I have a chance to be freed from the sins that we keep going back to. It is because He is risen that you and I have a chance to be free again. Now, I don't know what the shackles are in your life. They could be the shackles of lust, the shackles of greed, the shackles of pride and ego. They could be the shackles of hatred, the shackles of a lack of forgiveness and reconciliation. The shackles come in many different forms and colors. And some of us don't want to take them off. But for those of us who want to, it is because Christ is risen that the shackles are capable of coming off and we no longer have to be slaves. Look at the shackles that were around the wrist of Thomas the Apostle. What were those shackles? He was a slave to his doubt. He was a slave to the fact that unless he sees, and unless he touches, and unless he personally experiences, he will not believe. In the Gospel of today, the Lord appeared to his disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there either when Christ died on the cross, but he believed that, didn't he? Christ was not in the presence of Thomas, or Thomas was not in the presence of Christ when he died on the cross, but Thomas had no problem believing that. But when it comes to the things that are most important, which he prophesied about and promised them that he would rise from the dead on the third day, he told them he would do this, but Thomas's doubt was too strong. The shackles were on too tight. He was a slave to his doubt. So what does Thomas tell them? Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And so he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." The shackles and the slavery that Thomas suffered are a wonderful example to you and me of how Christ does not want to leave us enslaved to our sin. He wants to liberate us from the sin that makes us slaves. So what does the Lord do? He doesn't leave Thomas in his slavery. He doesn't leave Thomas and say, "I appeared to the others." If he doesn't want to believe, that's his problem. If he still doesn't have enough faith, if he still has not seen enough, if he still can't get himself to have a little bit of trust in me, he could have said all of those things. But what does the Lord do? He refuses to leave anyone a slave after his resurrection. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, and the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look. Look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side." What did Thomas say? "I will not believe unless I do these things." And Jesus says, "Whatever you need so that I can free you, I will let you do it. You do not only want to see me, you want to see the wounds, you want to touch, you want to place your hand. Do whatever you need to do. In me, I will give you freedom, Thomas. In me, I will free you from whatever it is that's making you a slave. If your doubt is the shackles that hold you down and enslave you, I will free you from them." And what happens? What happens to the human being as soon as they are freed? As soon as the shackles come off, as soon as the sin is removed because the Lord is resurrected, what does the human being do? And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." The testimony of Thomas of being able to declare him to be not only his Lord, but his God. This is the same Thomas who just a few days ago looked at Jesus and said, "Show us the Father and that will be enough." This is the same Thomas who always had a doubting spirit, who wanted to believe but could not get himself to believe because of his doubt. He wanted proof, he wanted evidence, and he didn't want to hear about it. He wanted to experience it personally. This is the same Thomas who, now that his shackles are removed, he is capable of saying, "My Lord and my God." How much more will you and me also declare that he is our Lord and our God when our shackles are removed? We have a responsibility to today, in the very liturgy that we pray, to tell him what shackles have to be removed, what we are a slave to, and to tell him, "Lord, you cannot be risen from the dead and I remain a slave. You cannot be risen from the dead and I am still not freed. If you have given liberty to the captives, then give me that same liberty. Give me that same freedom." Today we should be able to join with the voice of Thomas and to say that he is our Lord and our God. May his holy resurrection be a source of freedom to all of us. May his holy resurrection be exactly what we need for the shackles of sin to be removed. To him be all glory now and forever, and unto the ages of all ages. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.